All right. Thank you again for being here this morning. And keep your Bibles open to 1 Samuel there. We're going to look at some verses here. Introduction will be a little bit longer, and then we'll get to the message. Thank you again. I appreciate you being faithful and being faithful to services. My mother-in-law is visiting with us back there, and you don't hear mother-in-law jokes from me. We have a great relationship. Of course, she lives 1,200 miles away, so that helps, but she's fantastic. I love her. We're going to look at this. One of the great blessings we have in life, if you think about it, the message isn't going to be about America. That's our theme, and that's irritating me right there, so we'll put it right there. One of the great blessings of life is friendships that we're able to have and relationships that God gives us. Nothing could be more encouraging, and nothing could be more beneficial. But if, looking at the flip side, if one of the great blessings and benefits of life is relationships, then we would have to say one of the greatest heart breaks of life would be when those fall apart or when those disintegrate. When you would think that a person who is close to you that you would think would be there for you forever, all of a sudden is not. I heard this story. You probably heard it before. There was two men. They're out in the mountains, and they're out camping together in the middle of nowhere. And they're up one day, and here comes a bear. And they freeze, and they're staring at it. And all of a sudden, one guy takes off running. And his other friend says, "Hey, don't run. You can't outrun the bear." He goes, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I only have to outrun you." Okay. How many of you have friends like that? Good. All right. There you go. But if you think about whatever a relationship or a friendship is broken, there's usually a process over a period of time that leads to that. There's some principles that have maybe been violated which lead to that breakup. I want to show you something today from Saul and his relationship with David. Saul had been chosen the first king of Israel ever. But because of his lack of obedience and not following God, God told him that he was going to take the kingdom from him. In other words, when he died, the natural thing, which would have been the kingdom being passed on to his son, wasn't going to happen. He would be the only one in his family that would be the king. God had another man in mind to take over once Saul died, and that was, of course, David. God sent Samuel to David's family to make a king of his brothers. And of course, Samuel was impressed with his oldest brother. And God said, "Nope, he's not the guy." And they went down through there. And David, who wasn't even invited to dinner, ended up being made the king of Israel. By the way, the Sutricks are back with us. Good to see them. Sorry, didn't mean to neglect you. They'll be with us for a few days. And so David is anointed the next king. Now, David had endeared himself to Saul. He took out Goliath for him. He was the one who came to work at the palace and encouraged Saul, and he did it with his music and his work. He was Saul's most faithful servant. His son and his daughter both loved him. He was Saul's fiercest warrior. He's the kind of guy, if you were the king, you want on your team. He was the guy you want to make sure is taken care of. But because of Saul's jealousy, things started to change. Saul in his mind realized over a course of time that David was going to be the king, and so he was going to take what Saul had wanted for his sons. He also was getting jealous of the fact that when they came back from the battles, the ladies would sing praises more to David than they would to Saul. They would say, "Saul has slain thousands, David has slain tens of thousands." And so over the course of time, Saul, because of his attitude and his pride and his jealousy, he decided that he would take things into his own hand and he was going to kill David. Now, I don't think most dads would think this of their daughter, but he thought, here's one way I can get rid of him. I'm going to give my daughter to him. Now, I don't think it was necessarily up front because he thought that Michael was bad, but he said, you have to kill a certain amount of Philistines if you want to be my son-in-law. So he thought he would go out and the Philistines would kill him. That didn't work. Not only, I think it was 100, I forget how many it was. He asked for 100 of them, and David came back and said, here's an extra 100. So it didn't work. Then he just basically tries to kill him. In the verses we read this morning, he finally just tells his servants, they need to kill David. It was in this instant that Jonathan, in this particular instance, it didn't always happen, Jonathan was able to go to his dad and say, look, he's a great warrior. He's not a bad guy. He's on your side. He's done nothing worthy of death. Just leave it alone. And his dad listened, and then we read the next few verses. He's after him again. He's trying to kill him. Saul's desire to kill David was based on his jealousy and desire to keep the kingdom from his family. And so somebody he should have had a good relationship with, someone who went to war for him, someone that faithfully served him, someone who is his son-in-law, now he's trying to kill him. The relationship, for all intents and purposes, is over. Now that's not always the reason why relationships end, but in this case it was. But the fact of the matter is, as we get into the message, that life is built around people, around relationships. It's just how it is. If you don't have friends, if you don't have good relationships, you're going to end up being lonely one day. And I know some of us aren't as outward as others, but still, all of us need good friendships. It can be the best parts of life, but it can also be the worst. I have seen over the years many who had great relationships, and those relationships can be severed. Whether it's friends, whether it's families, you name it, people that you knew at work, people you had daily contact with, and even in a sense, sometimes, if I can say it, even fellow church members, and relationships are just destroyed. But here it is, the danger of a relationship that is not worked on when it gets strained, or it's not restored when it is severed. One of the great tragedies of that is that it can lead to bitterness. Amen. By the way, bitterness is dangerous. Because bitterness doesn't just affect, doesn't really affect the other person. Can I tell you who it affects? It affects you. Very, very important. I'll tell people sometimes, listen, you need to get that relationship right, if for no other reason, for yourself. Yep. Very important. But the thought I want us to see is this. Saul did not always feel this way about David. Look at verse 5. Jonathan pointed this out. And here's the thought, and we'll make some application this morning. Verse 5, as Jonathan is picking up for David, he says, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. By the way, that's true. Nobody else would man up. For 40 days, everybody sat cowering in fear, and Saul was nowhere to be seen. And David just happens to bring lunch to his brothers and says, I got this covered. How dare this guy talk about God? I'm going to go cut his head off. That's the kind of guy I want on my side. I mean, if there's going to be a fight, I want this guy on my side and not against me. He put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Read the next verse words with me. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. He's saying, hey, Saul, Dad, are you forgetting? Did you forget that when David came out and he helped, you were happy about it? You were on his side. You were all for him. And what has happened to change you from being happy and being on his side to where now you are against him? He was thankful at one point for David's service and relationship to him. By the way, that's what happens in a disintegrating relationship. We allow whatever's going on to get into our soul, it gets into our mind, and we forget how we felt about the person in the first place. We forget. Now, what exactly did Saul forget about that ruined his relationship? And I want us to see some of the consequences. Let me tell you what he forgot. First of all, he forgot what he did. He forgot about everything David had done for him. David had fought his battles. And by the way, it should have been Saul fighting Goliath. The Bible tells us that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was bigger than anybody else. He should have just manned up and being the king and being the biggest guy, and he should have went out there and trusted God and fought, but instead he cowered. David was the one who defended his throne. All these different battles, he's going out. David's the point man. David's the leader. David's motivating the men. David's going out there and doing the work. David was the one who loved his family. If you think about it, if you read through right now, I've been reading through in my Bible reading, I'm reading through the Old Testament books of the kings. And you saw in some of the kings, when a new king would come over, he would kill the family of the previous king. Not in Judah necessarily, although they did that, but particularly on Israel's side. Why? They didn't want any interference. And here's David, who's going to be the king. And you know who the number one guy he should have had his eyes on? Jonathan. Jonathan was a good guy. Jonathan's a kind, Brother Grandy mentioned it last Sunday night. That's another, you can go to battle. If I have David on one side, I have Jonathan on the other side, I'll drink coffee and watch him take care of business. Jonathan said, we're going to have a war here. Let me take my armor bearer and let's just go start killing people ourselves. Let's see if God's in on this thing. And you know what? That was David's best friend. David and Jonathan loved each other. Someone who potentially could have been his enemy. He loved his family. He married his daughter. Now, that didn't turn out so good at the backside, but I think that's because of Saul's interference in some ways. So David was no threat to him. David was actually on his side. Isn't that what we do to people? Whenever something happens in life, there's a situation that occurs, immediately we forget everything they've ever done for us. Immediately we forget how we felt about them at one point, and we let some little thing take up residence in our mind, and we let it blow out of control, and now it's all over. And relationships are ruined. What happens? We start to focus on people's weaknesses. By the way, if you're looking for a perfect person, it ain't happening. It ain't gonna happen. Well, I got married to this person, I thought they were perfect. I know, because you didn't live together. And then you get married and it's like, what's that all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. They're human. And by the way, cowboy, so are you. Well, you know, she just has problems. I know. One of her problems is you. Okay, walk by the mirror, buddy. You see, here's what we want. We want strengths without weaknesses. It doesn't work that way. Have you ever heard about cutting some slack? We focus on a person's weakness. By the way, if you focus on anybody's weakness, you're not going to like them very much. You come to church and say, man, everybody at church is such a wonderful person. Come see me. I know the backstory. By the way, don't see them about me because they know my backstory. That's just reality. And so, you know, you come and there's some little thing and then you start building. It's ridiculous what we do. We focus on their weakness or we focus on an infraction. Somebody does something wrong. Now, if someone does something hideous, I'm not talking about that, okay? But I'm just saying, there's a little situation and that person didn't handle it right. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you're right. And sometimes you're not going to handle a situation right. What about forgiveness? What about slack? What about working the situation out? No, we start building it up in our mind and we forget everything. So all the years or all that time building up this friendship, building up this relationship, and you're going to destroy it over some little weakness or some little infraction without trying to work it out? It's a very dangerous place to be. By the way, David proved himself over and over and over to Saul. There was twice, I believe, where Saul's army's chasing David, David's hiding, and God gave David free rein to kill Saul. Yep. One time, Saul went into the cave, I'm not trying to be gross here, to use the restroom by himself. Typically, your soldiers didn't go in with you. And it just so happened that's the cave David was hiding in. Yep. David could have killed him on the spot. And I'll be honest with you, probably a lot of those soldiers would have jumped to David's side. But you know what David said? Not mine. That's not mine. He's God's king right now. Timing's going to be right. So David, there was nothing there. It is a really big problem when you feel somebody has done something wrong and you are not willing to talk to them about it personally, but you're willing to talk to others about it privately. The Bible has a word for that, and it's not good. It's not good. Why would you? Look, if you, well, this person is this and this person is that. Have you ever talked to them? Give them the benefit of the doubt? Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you can talk to somebody and it is legit. They're just like out there and left field. But listen, do what you're supposed to do. But we'll go criticize somebody. By the way, I'll throw this out. Don't just listen to criticism. People can't defend themselves. Well, so-and-so did this, this, and this, and all that. Have you talked to them? Someone wants to come and start, well, so-and-so did this in this relationship. Like, would you like to get together and discuss this? I'm pretty sure there's just a, and you know, 99 times out of 100, it's a misunderstanding, and you go talk to the other person, next thing you know, you're eating pizza together. Right? But we don't go and talk to them. So did you remember? Number two, did Saul remember how you felt? He said he rejoiced in David. He forgot the good times. By the way, it's amazing. We feel a good way towards somebody, and then there's a couple of issues we have to deal with, and we don't feel good towards them anymore. By the way, you know, that's nothing more than having love with conditions. And when you have love with conditions, you don't have love at all. There are no conditions. Well, I'll love you as long as you do this, 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 and this for me. It's not love. I know I mentioned it in the new members class, but I may have mentioned church recently. I'm not sure if I did. I'm getting old. So pray for me. There was a guy, he was going to get married, and he had a good girl. He was a Christian. He said, you know, everything about her was great. And as the day started approaching, he just was a little nervous, nothing serious. And so he went to talk to his dad, and he expressed his nervousness to his dad. He goes, yep, you're right. Marriage isn't for you. And he was like, whoa, Dad, that's not why I was coming here. And he was like, no, it isn't for you. And he was confused about it because his dad liked the girl. He wanted to marry her. He was just having cold feet. And his dad explained it to him. He goes, if your marriage isn't about what you can do for her, then you don't need to get married. Because marriage isn't for you, it's for the other person. By the way, if we all had that attitude, things would be a lot better, wouldn't it? But that's not love. If you're married, you're going to find out that your prince charming or princess isn't always perfect. And I know, and they live happily ever after. And I'm like, cowboy, that ain't how it goes. It is ever after, and it is mostly happily. Okay? But if you, by the way, that's why the fairy tale always ends with the cute music and the kiss at the wedding, and they don't go any farther. And I guarantee you, after 8 kids, Cinderella didn't look like that. Anyhow, you will find out when you have children that those little sweet children are snotty little brats. Right? Look, I love my grandkids, but the best part sometimes is when they go home. Okay? You know, I love my children. It takes effort and it takes work to grow children. They're not always, you know, I know the little baby and they goo and they like smile at you. And the next thing you know, they're throwing up on you. You find out that the church you thought was filled with perfect people is filled with imperfect people. Right? And that's why you're welcome. Some people are like, I'm going to find me a better. Tell me when you find a perfect church, because I'll go with you. And we'll ruin that church together. Okay. You know, look, you ain't fooling. You all come in here. You look all nice and all that. I know your backstory. I know where you came from. Everybody looks at you and says, oh, they must have been serving God. No. There was a lot of times they were serving, but it was not God. It may have been the God of this world, but it was not God. But God works in our life. Look, I don't want a church of perfect people. I don't want a church of knuckleheads either, but I want to, that we are who we are. Let's give each other some slack. Also, Saul didn't think about, oh, by the way, I got to say this. Don't let a moment of weakness or difference of opinion ruin a glorious relationship. See, we take that good emotion we once felt, and we take that same energy and we push it towards negativity. And then, this is the society we live in. You run to your social media and give some cryptic, backslapping post. That is so immature.
Yeah.
Really, you need to grow out of that.
Yeah.
Why would we, I'm not, you know, I was my life about, you don't post stuff on social media about relationships.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you do that? Let me just throw this out. Then you want to restore the relationship and there it is. These idiot athletes, you know, they get mad with their team and they go to their social media and they scrub everything that had to do with the team they're playing on. We're just so immature. We have to live our life online.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to know everything. It's like, they don't need to know anything. Post the good things, right? You know, we had a great day at church. We had a great day with the family. Not like, hey, we're throwing pots and pans at each other. Okay? If you don't want a black eye, duck. We walk by people and we don't even acknowledge them. Let's take that same energy and let's use it for positive. Saul also forgot what could happen. You see, the implications of a failure in a relationship go far beyond that singular relationship. You see, it has negative consequences for you personally, for the person you have problems with, and here's the sad things, for the people around you.
Yep.
Saul's attitude that caused him to want to kill his most loyal and trusted servant had far-reaching consequences. That's what the root of bitterness does. Someone has said bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. You sit at home, you lay in your bed, and you have all these thoughts, and you towards somebody, and you can't sleep, and the person you have ill will towards is snoring. It hurts you. I don't know how many times in my office I've talked with people about relationships, whether it's marriages or otherwise, and I'm like, if things aren't going well, you need to do everything you can to restore the relationship and make it right. And even if it doesn't work out, you can walk by a mirror, look in the mirror and say, I'm doing everything I can to fix this thing. I can't control the other person, but I can control the good-looking guy I see in the mirror every day. Now, for you guys, he may not be good looking. I don't know. You can only control yourself. You can't control somebody else. You be who you're supposed to be. But we get the root of bitterness. But when bitterness comes, I'm going to tell you, if I get bitter towards, I'm going to pick someone out here. Raul, you're too easy. Gerald, if I get bitter at Gerald, and I got a lot of reasons, Gerald. No, I'm kidding. If I get bitter at Gerald, and I let that, we're close, and I let that thing get out of control, my attitude starts to spoil.
Yeah.
And that same rotten attitude I have, it's now easier to transfer that to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, bitterness is like looking through a dirty window. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness in Hebrews, and the word picture is like looking through a dirty window. You can see, but you can't see very clearly.
Yeah.
And you're going to see things that aren't there. So for your sake, you need to watch out. But it also ruined the relationship of his family. Saul, his family paid a heavy, heavy price. Now, I don't know. Maybe Michael was just a Jezebel. That's Saul's daughter that married David. I don't know. I know she loved him up front. She protected him one time against Saul, but something happened. And she turned against David. And I don't know if her dad, you know, when your dad hates who you're married to, that's going to be a problem. When your dad's trying to kill your husband, that's going to be a problem. Some of you are thinking, man, that wouldn't be a problem for me. That's going to be a problem. Jonathan and David. And then even after they died, one of his family tried to steal the kingdom from David. And it ended up bad for him. Your attitude and how you relate to people. Look, you're also setting an example of your family how to deal with people. You get upset the way your children handle relationships. Where are they learning that from? Where are they going to learn that from? Don't ruin your family. And then it leads to you rejecting spirituality. I won't look at it, but if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 22 later, Saul gets so bad that David is running. He goes by the priest. The priest helps him out. David tells him a story, doesn't tell him what's going on. And Saul finds out that the priest helped David. Now, the priest had no clue what was going on. And Saul asked his soldiers to kill all the priests. Now that was that's not a small thing. That is heavy. In fact, it was so heavy, Saul's soldiers said, no way, we're not touching them. And then Doeg, an Edomite, did the job for him. How did he stoop that far? Those priests had nothing to do with David. Nothing. But that hatred, that bitterness was so deep, it ruined his spirituality. And I'll say this. When someone is overly critical of others, check their spirituality. I guarantee it's not very good.
Amen.
You know, well, you know, that guy in the church, he's this, this, and this. Okay, when's the last time you invited someone to church? When's the last time you opened your Bible? How's your Christian walk? Because it's impossible to be close to God and not try to work out relationships with other people. It doesn't work that way. Remember, what are the two greatest commands? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two go together. So when you have a problem with one person, it is not going to stop there. Now, here's the last thing that Saul probably forgot. He forgot what God wants. What does God want in any strained relationship? I think he wants three things, and we're done. He wants forgiveness. Learn how to forgive. Now, I understand when I say that there are some people that are evil. And they do horrific things. And I get that. But for your sake, forgive them. That doesn't mean you need to go anywhere near them. If someone's doing something evil or wrong, get out of that situation. But don't let that eat at your soul. Because that's not your fault. But most of the time, we're not dealing with those type of situations. We're dealing with small things and we won't forgive. You know the verse, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, why should I? Even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Learn how to forgive. Then, here's the tough part, if you can, reconcile. That's the point of forgiveness. You know what? This was just misunderstanding. This is something that's been going on, and I'm sorry. Can we get... Now, I will say this. If someone doesn't want to reconcile with you and you've forgiven them and done your part, you've done what you could. That's on them.
That's right.
You'll be the one that sleeps at night, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Don't harbor ill will towards people. And the last part is this. Harmony. Harmony. Get back. Get that relationship. Saul never had a better warrior. Saul never had a better guy in his kingdom than David. Fact of the matter is, in David and in Jonathan, Saul had everything he did to keep that kingdom humming. But instead of following God, he let bitterness and jealousy creep in and doing his own thing. Relationships are very important, and it's important we work on them. I'll end with this, and I've told it many years ago. There was a man in Iowa, it's a true story. He and his brother had a falling out. I think he was in his late 70s, and he found out that his brother was dying. And he finally decided when his brother was very ill, like, I don't want it to end like this. I want us to get back together. And for some reason, he had some stubbornness, he decided that he was going to drive to see his brother, over 200 miles away. But he didn't have a license, and he didn't want anybody to take him because it was his job to do this. So he got on his riding lawnmower, and he drove the over 200 miles to see his brother. It took him several weeks. He broke down several times. He was camping on the side of the road. After a few weeks, he arrived there, and him and his brother got their relationship back together. Now, that's a good story, but I'm pretty sure once he got everything settled, he wished he would have done it earlier. Relationships are a part of life.
Yeah.
And how we handle them is going to determine the joy we get from them or the agony we get. Saul messed up everything because he didn't want to keep that relationship with David. What about us? Who is it you're forgetting about? Who is it that you've had a relationship and it's strained and you won't get that thing fixed? Or at least try on your part to do what you can. I guarantee you the reward of a restored relationship is better than the consequences of just letting it go. Let's bow our head and close our eyes if we can for a minute, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute. People are just a part of life. And I get it. Some people are an acquired taste. Some people are just a struggle. I get it. Sometimes it's not even that people are bad. It's just that our personalities don't really mesh. Things of life come. Sometimes we make bad decisions. I get it. But I guarantee it's better to fix that relationship. We don't want to go the way of Saul. Saul paid a heavy price. Fact of the matter is, the message tonight is about a battle. And we're going to see the end of David, of Saul, and how it didn't turn out well for him, because all these things he did with David, it just built up. And it poisoned everything around him. We may not be perfect, we may not be this, but we can have right relationships. Maybe we need to work on that today. Before we have our invitation here, I would say this too. There's one relationship we all have to have restored at one point of our life, and that's our relationship with God. You see, sin separates us from God. It's not anything that he does, it's what we've done. But you know, Jesus wanted to restore that relationship. He wanted to restore it so much that he came to this earth and he died on the cross for our sins. He paid our price so that we could have forgiveness and our relationship could be restored and we could be with him one day in heaven when we die. Here's the question this morning. Are you 100% for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have any doubt at all? If you don't have doubt, you need to get that settled. With nobody looking around, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask a question, give you a chance. If you would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure. If I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? If you do me a favor, just lift your hand, and then when I see it, you can put it down, and I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Pastor, I'm not sure. Yes, see your hand over here. Let's stand together. The piano's going to play. Maybe God's working on your heart about something. It doesn't mean if you come down here that, you know, you have a horrible relationship. Maybe just you want to make sure that you always stay right and that you keep that root of bitterness from creeping up in your soul. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come?